Our first guest today has been making music for a very long time. Maria Muldaur's name became a household word in the 70s with the big hit Midnight at the Oasis, but Maria Muldaur's got a lot more songs in her catalog and a lot more genres. Here's a sample. There it is. Album Steady Love. Maria Muldaur will be in the area this weekend. Friday, she'll be doing a benefit for the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center at the Mount Shasta Ski Resort. Saturday evening, she'll be at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Ashland. Maria, thanks so much for joining us today in the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey, for having me on your show. I have my speakerphone on. Is that affecting how you hear me?
You sound good. That's fine, yeah.
Oh, goody. Okay. Well.
All right. So you are from Greenwich Village originally in Lower Manhattan. Did the 60s folk revival essentially just deliver itself to your doorstep?
Well, pretty much, yeah. I was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time and be part of a scene that in which a lot of people from the urban north, for the most part, were discovering and exploring all kinds of American roots music. Well, I call it American roots music, but back then we called it folk music. And so I was exposed to old-time Appalachian music and blues and bluegrass and jazz as well, although that's sort of incidental, but that was also a neighborhood where there are lots of fabulous jazz clubs. So it was like music was my destiny from very early on, and I'm still happily engaged in it years later.
Sounds like you were marinating in it as a child growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to go down to North Carolina and study fiddle with Doc Watson's father-in-law, Gaither Carlton. I was in a bluegrass band with David Grisman in 1962 and in a jug band shortly after that. And I've just made my way through various forms. Although you mentioned Midnight at the Oasis as my big hit, my first great big hit, that was sort of incidental. Having a couple of pop hits was incidental to my lifelong odyssey through various forms of American roots music, which I continue to this day.
I'm surprised as we look at the catalog just how omnivorous you are. I mean, you've got... Is there
That's
any particular
a good way to put it? Musically omnivorous. I like that.
Is there any particular genre you're most at home in?
Well, I would say after all is said and done, I would say that I've settled most comfortably into what I call bluesiana music. And in fact, my band that I'll be traveling to your area with is called the Red Hot Bluesiana Band. And bluesiana is a word I made up about 20 years ago. I was doing a lot of performing with Dr. John from New Orleans, you know, the wonderful piano player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talking about being at the right place at the right time.
Right.
Starting in the 70s on my first recordings for Warner Brothers, he was often in the studio and part of the recording band, and I developed a relationship with him. And so even in the 80s when I wasn't recording for Warner's anymore, we did a lot of touring as a duo, just him playing piano and me singing, and I got really addicted to that New Orleans flavored kind of piano style that he had, and incorporated it more and more in my music, and invented this word bluesiana to describe it, because it's kind of bluesy and kind of R&B-y and kind of Louisiana-y and kind of funky. So that's kind of where I feel the most at home, although I've put out jazz albums in the last few years, jug band albums, and a lot of vintage blues albums, doing a lot of acoustic country blues. And I've actually been nominated for several Grammys and other blues awards just in recent years for some of my more recent work. So that's kind of pretty much in a nutshell how I describe what I mostly do these days.
Maria Muldaur is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, playing shows on Friday in Mount Shasta and Saturday in Ashland, and talking to us now on the phone from her home in California. We can take your calls here at 800-838-3760 around the region, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Mark and Redding's got on the phone almost as soon as you did, Maria. Go ahead, Mark. Mark, go ahead. Mark and Redding.
Okay, well, I guess he had to run off to work.
I guess so. Mark, are you there? We got the phone line up. Okay. Well, he might be listening to our delay box, and so he's hearing himself 10 seconds too late. He was going to ask about the influence of jug bands, I think. And so it was Jim Queskin and his jug band. This is an interesting story of formation, I think.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The jug band you formed with Jim Queskin. Tell us about how that came together.
Well, I didn't form that band. I was originally in a jug band in New York City with people like John Sebastian and David Grisman and others who went on to have quite fabulous music careers on their own. That was in 1963, and shortly thereafter that, after we just did one album and a few performances, two of which were at Carnegie Hall, believe it or not, I then connected with Jeff Muldaur from the Jim Queskin Band. They were a really fabulous jug band from Cambridge, Mass., and moved up there to be with him, and shortly thereafter was asked to join their band. And I all through the 60s, I performed and recorded with them.
And I think we have Mark and Redding back on the line now. Mark, you there this time?
I was there the first time.
Okay, well, here you are.
At any rate, Maria.
Yes.
Did you at the time realize what a great influence the Queskin Jug Band had on West Coast bands?
I only found that out afterwards. Way later on, if you fast forward to when I had moved up to the San Francisco Bay Area and joined the Jerry Garcia Band, is when I found out from Jerry that the Grateful Dead originally started as Mother McCrary's, is it Mother McCrary's Jug Band, something like that. Anyway, they started out as a jug band fashioned after the Jim Queskin Jug Band. So him and Bobby Weir and some of the others. So that was interesting news to me. But in retrospect, I'm told that the jug band had a very far-reaching influence, even on a lot of the British bands, believe it or not.
Was that any surprise to you, Mark?
Well, whenever I was on the West Coast and I heard a jug band, I would ask them if they'd ever heard of the Queskin Jug Band, and they would look at me and say, "You're really an idiot. Where else do you think we would have learned these songs?"
Well, there you go. Well, speaking of the Queskin Jug Band, 2 years ago was our 50th anniversary, and we all got together and did a series of shows to celebrate that landmark and milestone, rather. And we did some shows on either coast and also in Japan, where jug bands are still very big. And this year, we're getting together to do another little tour of the East Coast. So jug band music is alive and well. And in fact, I did an album about 5 years ago called Maria Muldaur and Her Gardener Joy that was nominated for a Grammy. So, and I used, I got together with David Grisman and Dan Hicks and John Sebastian. But on top of that, I became aware of a whole new jug generation and incorporated some great players from the Northwest into the mix for the recording, and then toured with them. Kit Stovepipe and the Crow Quill Night Owls. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but anyway, jug band music is alive and thriving. Last year I was inducted into the Jug Band Hall of Fame at the International Jug Band Jubilee in Louisville, Kentucky, where jug bands started. So that is but one phase of my long and checkered musical journey, and I still enjoy playing it.
Maria Muldaur, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's hear a little bit more of her music. Let's listen to a bit of Don't You Feel My Leg.
Uh-oh.
Personal. This is what I had to tell him. Don't you feel my leg? Don't you feel my leg? 'Cause if you feel my leg, you're not gonna feel my thigh. If you feel my thigh, you wanna go too high. So don't you feel my leg?
Dower singing, Don't You Feel My Leg. You said, uh-oh, as soon as we announced we were going to play that song.
You know, that's a wonderful old blues that was originally done by a great New Orleans blues woman named Lulu Barker. She had a kind of local hit with it in 1939, and I re-recorded it on my first solo album. It was a song that was given to me, brought to my attention by Dr. John, in fact. And it's remained a big favorite of people's over the years. It's funny, some radios, it kind of became an underground hit months after Midnight at the Oasis was riding at the top of the charts, but some radio stations thought it was too risque to play. But when you think about it, I mean, the way they express things like that in blues back in the day was much more kind of playful and not nearly as in your face kind of explicit as a lot of today's lyrics. So it's funny, it's remained one of my fans' favorites all these years, and that leads me to tell you that I want to mention to your audience that the two shows I'm doing in that area are completely different. On Friday, we're going to be doing a show to benefit the Mount Shasta Ecological Society. And that's going to be basically what I would call a Bluesiana dance party, in which we do a lot of real up-tempo, high-energy songs and a kind of a bluesy, funky mix of material. But, of course, everybody's old favorites as well. Mm-hmm. And then the next night I'm going to do a show that's very special that I put together last year when I was writing out the date on a check and suddenly realized that 2014 marked 40 years since Midnight at the Oasis had been riding at the top of the charts. And that fact just blew me away.
That'll teach you to write checks,
wow,
too.
Wow, time sure flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Especially having fun making music. But, you know, I've made 40 albums in that 40 years, and I thought maybe this would be a good time to, instead of rushing forth to do my 41st album, that I just sort of take this milestone as a chance to step back and reflect on all the amazing musical adventures I've had and all the wonderful, amazing artists I've been blessed to work with in the studio and in live performances. And so I put together a show called Way Past Midnight, because it is way past midnight. And I decided to go back and revisit a lot of the older tunes from my earlier recordings that people still request all the time. But because when an artist does a new project, you know, we're naturally the most excited about presenting the newest material to people. So when people would call out for an old favorite, I would often give some smart-ass remark like, oh, you can go home and listen to that on your vinyl. But I realized that maybe it was time to go back and honor those requests and revisit a lot of these older tunes from my older repertoire. And it's been a wonderful experience to go back. It's like rediscovering and reconnecting with old friends to do some of these tunes I haven't performed in 20 or 30 years. So that show, which is going to be in Ashland at the Unitarian Fellowship Church on Saturday night, is going to be a presentation, what we call a multimedia retrospective. Doesn't that sound fancy?
Yeah.
And what it's going to be is my telling, sort of sharing the journey of when I first began and some of my earliest influences and going back and doing some of those earlier tunes, along with wonderful visuals. We found great old video clips and slides and photos from back in the day of me with all sorts of artists, and I weave it all together into a story that starts then and ends up in the present. And we toured with it for 7 weeks last year and got absolutely rave reviews and a just wonderful response. So I'm continuing to present that in venue wherever I didn't get to do it last year, and that includes Ashland. And I'm really looking forward to doing both shows. I love that whole area, and we're very much looking forward to being up there this weekend.
That is Maria Muldaur, who'll be in the area this weekend, and you can talk to her now on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's hear a little of Richland Woman Blues. I want to get that in there, too.
Oh, yeah, talking about an old chestnut. No, that's not it.
Maybe on key 4. Talking pretty good, you know, but then all of a sudden he's
give me red lipstick and a pop of red rouge, a shingle bob haircut and a shot of good booze. Hurry home, sweet papa, and don't you take your time. If you wait too long, your mama will be gone.
Richland Woman Blues by Maria Muldaur, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You've really worked hard, Maria, it appears, to give credit and attention to singers who've gone before you. Tell us, for example, about Memphis Minnie and the work you've done for her.
Well, before I do that, I just want to mention that playing that wonderful, funky, soulful guitar is my old buddy, my old jug bandmate, John Sebastian. And I always love playing with him, so that I just wanted your listeners to know that. Well, Memphis Minnie is probably, of all the wonderful blues artists that have influenced me, has got to be my biggest inspiration. She was a blues woman who recorded primarily from the late 20s into the early 50s, and starting out in Memphis, and then she moved up to Chicago in the mid-30s. But she not only sang the blues like other blues women from that era, people like Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey and all the other blues queens from that era, but she also wrote and recorded over 250 of her own songs and played absolutely bitchin' guitar, and was also smart enough to marry not one but several great guitar-playing husbands so she could keep the act in the family, so to speak. And she, her songs are very personal and very, very well written, and to the point where a lot of artists to this day, what are we in now, 2015, mm-hmm, still want to record her material. And a few years ago, I thought it would be a great idea to do a tribute to her, and I called it First Came Memphis Minnie, and did and enlisted a lot of my sisters in the blues, my soul sister Bonnie Raitt, Ruthie Foster, Rory Block, Phoebe Snow, dear sister, God rest her soul, and several others, a wonderful guitar player from the Seattle area named Del Rey, a wonderful woman who plays guitar, who also loves Memphis Minnie, and when she and I get together and she plays guitar and I sing, we're pretty much channeling Memphis Minnie into the room. Anyway, I got her to play on a lot of the cuts, and so together we put together this tribute album called First Came Memphis Minnie, and I included a lot of pictures and a whole biography of Memphis Minnie, and in the hopes that it would just get, you know, point people in the direction get out there and explore more of her music. I mean, back when we were starting, we would have to pour through hundreds of old 78s and scratchy old records, and just it would be totally random what you might unearth or discover. But nowadays, I mean, if you just, you know, type in Memphis Minnie, and with a click of the mouse, you can bring everything she ever did right into your computer and learn so much. And it's a very exciting time where people who are interested in this kind of music can go back and really immerse themselves in all kinds of wonderful musical you know, delights that were unavailable, pardon me, unavailable to us before.
We really do have a lot of access now. We're getting short on time. I just want to ask you, given the success of Midnight at the Oasis, which we'll play on the way out here, people must come up to you at shows all the time and say, boy, I remember I was doing this when I first heard that song. I mean, do you get a lot of that?
I get so much of that, Jeffrey. If I had been paying attention and writing it all down from when people first started coming up and telling me about that, or Don't You Feel My Leg, or It Ain't the Meat, It's the Motion, some of my other songs from back then, I could have written quite the X-rated book by now, because people tell me what those songs inspired, how it was the soundtrack to various love and lust affairs, you know, and that, you know, to me, that's even more gratifying. I've been nominated, for instance, for Grammys about six times, have never won, but I gotta tell you, the stories people tell me of how my music intersected with their lives and what it meant to them at a particularly important time in their lives means the world to me. That means I must be choosing the right songs and bringing joy to people, and that's what I'm here to do.
Well, there's a whole big back catalog there that you can get into with the Way Past Midnight show. That'll be Saturday at the Unitarian Fellowship in Ashland. The other show is Friday, the benefit for the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center at the ski resort. Maria Muldaur, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.